RLRD, RLRD regular meeting.
Thank you. Well, the first set of text, you adjourned the public hearing.
Just be quiet. Hi, Ben, how are you?
Everyone signing?
Yeah.
Being passed around here. Okay, make a motion to move the minutes.
I'll make a motion.
Second. Favor.
Aye.
Okay, I just wanted to thank the dam operators. I think they did a great job for under the circumstances and the amount of rain that we've had. And I spoke with Tom Thomas the other day, and Tom wanted to say a few words this evening. If anyone had any questions for Tom, I just want to commend him on a great job.
Don't have any speech I really want to make. Certainly take any questions. People wonder exactly what happened. I can give you a fairly good summary.
I just want to say I got up at 6 a.m. to let my dogs out and was amazed to find everything on our dock completely underwater.
It's a little different.
I took pictures. I went back to bed because I was so tired. I got up at 8:30, and had I not been up at 6, I wouldn't have known anything happened. It was all back to normal. You're to be commended.
No.
You might not agree if you own property in the outlet gorge. They did donate generously. We ripped a lot of water.
Is the siren not functioning, or is it got a cold or something?
The siren functions such as it is. Unfortunately, you cannot hear that siren probably 100 yards down the gorge. Especially if both valves open 100%.
One person.
No prayer.
Approached me about it.
Mr. Fox has mentioned to me several times it might be nice. And fortunate that evening, we went into that night with both valves open 100%. So if anybody was playing in the outlet gorge, there's something wrong with their head to begin with. So lifting the gate at that point, blowing the horn was silly. However, if it's quiet and we opened the gate out of the blue, somebody really could get caught. Short notice.
Maybe around Steve Fox would be the location.
Yeah, somewhere down below the drop, we could put another siren or two. That would help folks know it's coming.
I know also, Tom, the yellow light was flashing down there and someone went down in a canoe or something.
Oh, we had lots of company. The pedal boat was my favorite. Probably 20 feet from getting into the draft, and at which point he would have been sucked under the gate. There's absolutely nothing anybody could have done. Mm-hmm. ran up the stairs, white shirt, t-shirt over my head, finally got his attention, and I'm afraid a very poor language tirade was unloosed upon the person, and he turned around, and he had headed back out. Essentially, July, we all know, was wet. And the first week of August was wet. The ground couldn't take a whole lot more. Saturday, I believe, was the 8th. Nice day. Lake was about right. Valves were down to only 40 CFS going out. We got another one of those 2 a.m. downpours. And we were down there all Sunday morning, getting it back down from 1441 to 1440.2. 0.4 is supposedly full, top of the spillway gates. Wherever they sit now with their new seals, so there's 1440.445, who knows. Mm-hmm. Approximately 1440.4. We were down to 0.2 going into Saturday night. And after that downpour, we hit 1441 about 3 in the morning, and we had both valves open at 100%, and we got it back down again. Things were looking good. Creeks were quiet. And then we got the twister and the winds and the downpours again. And we saved that off. We wound up with both valves open 100% all that night. And I think the first call we got was 2:30 Monday morning. It said 1441. I acknowledged that call and shook my head and said, how can that be? I had a high alarm set at 1440.8 and it never called at 0.8. How can it be 41? Mm-hmm. I got my flashlight, went down, looked at my dock. I said, sure looks like a 41. I went back up and called it and it said 41.2. I said, gee, 0.2 in 15 minutes. I get my pants on, I'm going to get Bobby out of bed and we're going down. By the time Bobby and I got down the stairs and turned off all the alarms, it said 41.7. The top of the dam is approximately 1443, so we're a little over a foot from the nightmare overtopping. So we had to consider lifting a gate. We hesitate, there's a reason we hesitate. There's a couple reasons we hesitate, but one is the bottom of the spillway gate is 1420.4. or so. And if we lift one of those gates up and we cannot get that gate to close and seal, the lake level becomes 1420. Until we can remove any obstacles or whatever caused it to jam, and then we could try to close it and pray we got enough rain to get back to 1440. So generally, don't even consider lifting a gate until we hit 1442. We sat there and uncomfortably watched it go past 42 to 0.1, 0.2, 0.3, 0.4. And at 42.5 said, the gate's got to go up. And they had to call the nice people, the Mount Morris Dam, who did not want to hear from us. They had enough in the river and they're doing the re-removal. So we told them we were lifting the gate. And they said, how many CFS is that? And I said, a lot. Probably twice what we were sending with the valves. Water moving is measured in CFS cubic feet per second. When the lake is full, we can move about 1900 CFS with both valves open 100%. If we got more than that coming in, it climbs. And the only other thing we can do is lift the gate. I would guess somewhere that morning, say we were getting somewhere between 4 and 5,000 CFS coming in. And the only way we were going to get it out was lift the gate. The good news is we only had to lift one gate to get all that water out. If it hadn't budged, we would have lifted two gates. Twice the risk that one won't close. Mm-hmm. But if you got to do it, you got to do it. The gate was open for about 3 hours, and we got about 2 feet of water out of the lake. Unfortunately, the creek was still 4 feet higher than the lake. I feel bad for them, but we got no valves in the creek, nothing we can do. And then all the debris from there blessed our lake. And lots of people helped clean it up. Thanks to all of you that helped with that. In a nutshell, that's it.
Okay, thank you very much, Tom.
Hey, Tom, the fancy cameras that are on top of the building on the dam,
yes,
they point out into the water at all?
Well, there's one that kind of points across the front towards the rocks.
Oh, Well, I was asking you, you've got some Rushford Taggart with neon bright orange paint.
You did some new what?
Tyler and Trevor. If anybody knows that group of kids, get a hold of them and have them clean it up.
What was it? What happened?
Got some new name spray painted on the face of the brick building. Don't know who it was.
Saw Tyler.
Yeah, something.
How long did it take to go back to 1440? Once you opened the gate?
About 3 hours.
Then we start guessing. And leave both valves open and hope it drops. If it doesn't, then the gate's gotta go back up. Fortunately, it did start, and then we cut back valves until, actually, we got down to 1439.8 or so, I think, that morning. Cutting the valves back, it bounced right back up. We started getting stuff out over the gates again.
What's your concern with the gates that you're really concerned about opening? I thought we had that under control.
It's not necessarily a mechanical thing with that much tree, large limbs, bolts, barrels, whatever. Something got lodged underneath in that opening and would prevent the gate from going down. All we can do is take the lake right down to that 1420 and then remove whatever it is and close the gate.
But the gates themselves, you trust them to close them?
They seem to behave certainly better than they did before the job was done.
I realize the tree or something get in there.
Right, but anytime you lift them, there's a possibility that something can get lodged in there. And there was a lot of stuff out there. The tree blessed us with a lot of tree.
So that it kind of sucks it down when you open it up?
Right.
Everything on the surface can get sucked down?
It has to go under the gate. And this is where the cuddle boat was heading. Straight at the light. Thank goodness they didn't get too close.
Isn't there kind of a protective gate system or a mesh system that could be installed to keep any debris from getting even close to the opening gate?
I figure our engineer of record could devise something, what price tag would go on it, who knows? But I'm sure something could be done, whether it's feasible. It's not there today.
Tom, are you, I don't know if you were at the last meeting, Bill Sikorsky indicated that next summer they're planning on refacing the valves.
Right.
And dewatering the pool and regulating the lake with the spillway gates. Are you comfortable with that? Maintaining 1440.3 with the spillway gate?
It's gonna be a challenge, I'm sure. Hopefully we'll have more words about when that happens.
What's your opinion of it?
Seems it'd be nice to do it during the off-season if we could.
Thank you.
Before she fills or after the drawdown. I mean, it's warm enough to work. But yeah, trying to maintain level with those gates is gonna be wild.
It'll be very difficult, won't it?
The charts that try to tell you how many CFS you're letting out, one of those things, and you're really guessing how far you've lifted it. Not really meant for that.
Yeah, but what's the consequences if you don't take care of the valves?
Well, eventually the valves definitely need to be addressed. But if we can do it sometime other than full, I would like to pursue that. But I hope to get a meeting with Bill here at some point and go over all that stuff, time frames.
I don't know if you were there, but his opinion was that because the gates have been repaired, that it's a very manageable thing to do.
Well, we can review that with him.
Okay, Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, Debbie, you want to say?
I just want to thank everyone who's here and people who are not here who pitched in and helped out that day. There was, someone said at least 30 folks that were free and easy floating around. And I also would like to make a motion that we send the Sheriff's Department a thank you letter, because they sent over a couple deputies to help us identify the boats and who they belong to, because these boats were just floating free. Some of them could be identified and returned to the owners, but there were others who are very grateful to the Sheriff's Department. So I'd like to make a motion that we send a thank you note to the Sheriff's Department.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, moving on, we have a request right now, and then after that, then Maggie's going to take over, we have other committees. I have approximately 13 requests, and hopefully we can move to two of these pretty quick. Sabato, Norm Denny, and George DiNunzio. I'd like to, I need a motion to approve all of their contract work. The document was out there and everything was fine. I'm trying to make this go a little quicker, okay?
I'll make the motion.
Wait a second.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, Mr. Richards, I believe it is, or Franklin Richards, he had a dock on Trail 9, which he had a license for, and the dock is gone now, and he would like to rebuild his dock. And I can see him building his dock. He doesn't have a dwelling down there, but he does own a dwelling in the district, which is past the 500 square foot rule. And that he would be, that I would allow the dock to be built as long as he would attach it to his Woodside property. And it would stay with the Woodside property. And if he sold the Woodside property, if he sold it as two separate parcels, that other parcel down there on Trail 9 would have to be sold to another back lotter or someone else that fit the qualifications. He wouldn't be able to just keep the dock. You understand what I'm saying?
No.
Okay. He owns the property on Woodside.
Gotcha.
Okay. Now, that dock would be attached to the Woodside address.
Okay.
Okay. It's a front lot property. It's a 40-foot front lot. Okay. I don't want him to sell his cottage someday and then try to keep the dock down there without fitting the criteria of the 500 square foot building. So either when he does want to sell his Woodside property, the dock would stay with his Woodside property, or if he did buy another property in the district and fit the qualifications, he could attach it to that.
This Woodside property is a back lot?
It's a back lot property, and he owns a 40-foot frontage on Trail 9.
So in other words, with his 40-foot frontage, he'd have to build a building and meet the criteria in order to keep that dock with the Trail 9 dock.
Right now he wants to attach it to his
Woodside. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Which meets all the criteria.
I'll make the motion.
I have a second.
I've got a question on that.
Okay.
Yeah, and you got this letter in regards to the Miller request?
Right, that's a different one. Right.
But is... he had two different requests?
Well, this request here is the addition of the dock with Ms. Miller.
Is he on that dock?
Yes, he is.
So he's already got it?
Yes, he does.
Attached to what property?
Yes, he does.
To the Woodside property?
Yes, he does.
So he's already got a dock attached to the Woodside property?
Yes, he does.
But he's asking for a front lot dock?
Yes.
Yes.
He pays taxes on the 40-foot of frontage? And which he did previously hold a dock license. He does have a dock license, he still has a dock license. We looked it up the other day. And all he wants to do is rebuild that other dock, the dock that was there. It's a floating dock.
Does he have two docks?
He has a dock, in the cove, which is attached to his Woodside property.
Yeah.
And this other dock, he owns other property on the lake down by Trail 9. He owns 40-foot of frontage. Lake frontage.
It doesn't meet the criteria.
So there was a dock previously there, and it was actually the dock was there was really no address that it was attached to. It said Trail 9. So it belongs. It's his frontage. He's paying tax on his frontage.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't meet the criteria to have a dock.
Pardon me?
That property.
Do I have a second to approve that?
I'm not comfortable with it yet.
You're not comfortable with it? Okay, we don't have a second, then we'll just, we'll take, I'd like to table it until the next meeting when we can appear. Okay, a motion to table.
Well, I'm a little confused with the proposal for the dock and on the base, you know, the base of Woodside?
Right, we'll get to that one next, okay?
I'd like to discuss this.
Okay, that's fine. We can discuss that later. That's fine.
Which one?
The one we need. Down Trail 9. Okay, we'll get a motion to table it until our next meeting, until we get the chance to move.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Okay, now the next one is Miller and Richards. There's a dock down in the cove, and Ms. Miller and Mr. Richards, they want to, they're going to form a community deck. They have the drawing here. She has all the dimensions. Mr. Richards has already wrote a letter. It's in the Cove area. It's on district property. And I would like to have this approved pending. See, Jean, okay. This is where his old dock is, right here.
Now, this is the same guy?
This is the same fellow, okay? So what he's going to do is he's going to just move his dock over just a wee bit and put it on an angle. So his boat will come in here, and Ms. Miller, they're going to add this here, and she's going to pull her boat in straight, okay?
This will be her dock?
This will be her dock right here. It'll be at the end of the cove, okay? So they would become a community dock. They would have to form a community dock association. They have their bylaws. And I would like to have this approved. I'd like to get a motion to have this approved pending the approval of Don Goddard, which he has property on the other side, on the other side.
When we did the inspection, I questioned who owned this frontage.
Okay, Mr. Goddard's driveway, actually.
That's a little cold.
This is all district property in here. Mr. Goddard, I have a map here.
This is the actual shape of this cove?
Mm-hmm, yes.
And this is...
Okay, this is where the dock is going to go, right here.
Okay.
This is Mr. Goddard's driveway. The rest of this is district property, all in here. And this would be on the other side of his frontage. But what I would, just out of courtesy to Mr. Goddard, I'd like to have this approved pending held letter from Mr. Goddard that he has no problem with his approval. I got a motion.
Jay, I would suggest that we wait till we have his letter before we approve it. Do we have to put any limits on the size of the boats?
Well, what I'd like to do is, once the dock is built, the dock committee can go down there, you can take measurements and give them a limit at that time.
Okay.
So actually, all the paperwork is in, all the measurements are in. She has permission from Mr. Franklin to add on the former community dock association. So the only thing we need is a motion to approve it pending a letter. And with the dock permit would not be issued until we receive a letter from Mr. Goddard.
And we've done that before.
Because it was done before, doesn't mean it's right.
Pending the letter.
And I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Maggie's opposed.
I prefer that we have all the paperwork in order.
There will be no permit issued on this until we receive the letter. Right, okay? Okay, moving on. Okay, Smith installed electrical. Mr. Smith, he didn't transfer his license due to the fact that his electrical wasn't updated and it was an open conduit. Mike Holmes checked it out and it's all brand new electrical. It's been done, but the only thing, before we issue a license, I need a motion that we have an inspection done, that he has an inspection done. It gives you the certificate, Ron, and then you'll be able to transfer the license after you receive the certificate.
Dave, I think his name is Pease.
David Pease. Oh, that's Pease.
Yes.
That's from last month.
No, there's a new Smith that was transferred.
That's right. This is the other Smith.
There's two electrical.
That's my mistake. Okay, for Smith, new electric installed, need certificate for inspection. When received, we may give him a license. That's what the request is.
Smith was the one that we went down to.
That was the right
state road.
That was on one of those state roads with the electric down there. Actually, I think, Ron, we found an old license or no electrical inspection. But we
yes,
talked
we
about
did, but it was very old.
But it's very old, so we would just like to have that inspection updated.
Okay. When we get the updated inspection,
then we can issue him his transfer. That's what they said. So you want to table it until.
Yeah,
okay, so do I have a motion to table that until we get the inspection?
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, Cox. Cox is the family across the lake. They cut down a lot of trees. And they have their boat, I have not seen it, but I've heard rumors that they have their, pontoon and their lift over there, and they're not supposed to use the lift, or the property below the 1450. So what I'm gonna do is, I'm not sure if that's, is that Rushford or is that Canadia? Does anyone know where the box is?
Yes, I think it's Rushford.
Rushford, okay, well, I'll notify Gary, our police officer, he just sent out a, Mr. Seilek, the same thing, Mr. Seilek has to appear in court. He's been summoned to court for using district property after he was not supposed to, so we'll have to do the same for the cops.
Did they plant the trees, Dan?
So can I have a motion to...
Did they plant their trees yet?
No, they haven't even grown the stumps.
Oh, okay.
So they have...
I'll make the motion.
Wait a second.
I'll say.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, Michael Holmes. The other day, Maggie was out, I was out, and Mike Holmes, and Bill Woodcock, we were out on an inspection. And Mike Holmes owns a property where it goes down into a gully. And I haven't seen both of the other property owner surveys, but I need a motion to request surveys for both property owners on each side, because Mr. Holmes would like to dredge out, there's like a little, there could be a creek in there that could lead to the lake. And he would like to have that dredged out, to have it go into the lake, so that he could put one boat slip down there by a cottage that he owns there, and so that he would be able to get out into the lake.
Do we approve of DEC?
That would have to all be DEC approved, but before we approve anything, I really would like the whole committee, the whole commission, every commissioner go out there and take a look at the request and get the surveys from both neighbors and see where their property is.
Who are the neighbors?
Can we ask a question? I don't know the form, so you tell me when we can and when we can't talk.
Okay, in open form, you guys, we'll let you, we'll have you address it.
Okay, because I was just...
My request right now is that for the whole commission to go down there and take a look at it.
Okay.
Okay, before we make any kind of decision.
Because my only question was, based on what you said earlier, that the property requesting a dock has to have a structure of 500 square feet.
Right.
And according to Jenny Harris's listing, it's only 420.
Well, if it's only 420, then it wouldn't fall in the category.
That was just my question.
And I have not done that research to see what the square footage is. But I will check this.
But we want a survey, Dave. You want to...
We can get a survey from each owner.
Okay.
From each owner to see where it goes. Do we have, do I have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, Trail 5. Actually, I did a little research this week. And on Trail 5, we have one person that is not qualified to be on a dock down there. Anyway, we had two, remember I said we had two extra people, and there's one person, there's no dwelling on, there's not, I think there was a small trailer at one time, but it's not on the tax map, there's no, on the taxes, there's no dwelling at all, it's just a plain lot. So Mr. Till still needs a dock, okay? He has a dock license, but no dock. And he was assigned a dock, I mean, not that he was assigned a dock, the property was, he bought the property stating that there was a dock, but there's a two-slip dock down there that was supposed to be a four-slip dock, but it was never built to a four-slip dock.
When did we sell that?
When was that, like in the 80s or something?
It happened quite a while ago.
When the first request for the four slips was done in the 80s, but they only built two, right?
Years ago.
Whose fault was this? They only built two, and that's not our...
I have no idea.
Someone, I thought it was someone in the 80s. So they were apparently issued a license that they never used.
Well, the people prior to him, I don't know what dock they used or if they shared a dock with someone else.
License is good for 1 year, right? I mean, a request for a license is good for 1 year.
Unless
renewed
it's
for a second year. I think it allows it for a second year. To renew for a minute.
Mr. Till purchased his property thinking that he had a dock. No, he was under the understanding that he had a dock. The only thing, I don't know what we want to do down there. If there's someone that maybe has two sides to a dock, you know, people are throwing different things at me. If he could take one side of the dock, this is something we have to look at.
Well, again, it depends on who built the dock, who has the financial interest in the dock.
I understand that, I understand. But I mean, if he did share a dock with someone else, he would have to definitely put up half the money for the cost of the construction, on the same trail.
This particular person has owned this land all this time?
No, he just purchased it, with the understanding that he had a dock.
He got everything.
Yes, he did. And there is a dock, he does have a dock. Pardon me?
That's not our fault either.
No, it's not our fault, it's not, no.
What's your suggestion?
My suggestion was, I don't know if there's people down there, I really don't know if there's someone down there that maybe has two sides to a dock, maybe he could share one side with them. But it's kind of tough when people do have two sides, they don't want to give up the other side of the dock.
Well, no. To me, it's up to him to make the contacts with these other people to see if they can work out some agreement to provide him with a dock or an honorary agreement that was made between neighbors 20 years ago or whatever. It's not up to us. I don't think.
There's no dock, I mean, as far as I know right now, there's no dock available. Mr. Lot, there's a dock down there, but he wants to, he's going to share that with someone else, you know what I mean? And he just rebuilt that whole dock.
Somebody didn't do the homework, and the lawyer or something, didn't do their homework, and they bought this thing with a dock on it, they paid dock prices.
I have no idea whatsoever what they may have paid. So.
Is there a community dock association?
There, right now, they're in the process of forming up.
So there is not one?
So right now, I don't know, but they're in the process of forming a community dock association.
When they get that, then we can do something.
Okay. So I need a motion to.
To take.
Table this.
I'll make the motion.
So they form.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, Clint, now that was the dock with Mr. Schwartau. Didn't have a license for that dock. And they need a letter from the commission stating so that they can move ahead and get the right of way to put under their name. They need a letter from the commissions just stating that they are the only three or four, I'm not sure, how many people are on that dock, Mike? Four or five, maybe? I can't remember off yet.
Aye.
Mr. Clint?
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
It's five or six.
Okay, there's five or six, but they need a letter from the commission stating that of the people that are on the dock, and Mr. Schwartau is not on the dock, we don't have to mention Mr. Schwartau, just the people that are on the dock, and then just so they can go ahead and obtain the right of way.
I'm sorry. There's three on the dock, and then my lift is next to the dock.
Pardon me?
There's three on the dock, and then my lift is next to the dock.
I understand, but you will not hold a license. We went through that last.
But I applied for a license.
Pardon me?
I applied for a license.
You applied for a license, but they do not want you on the dock. They already voted not in favor of 5-1, I think.
The commission gave me approval 15 years ago.
Well, we did research. We could not find a license. The only thing that we could find was we would permit you to do work to go down to the dock in that right of way there, just below the 1450.
Now, can they get me out rather than commission?
Pardon me?
You're saying they voted me out rather than.
Well, they, in order to keep you, in order to even get you on, you would have to have their permission. But they do not want you on the dock. They want to reconstruct the dock and they don't want you on.
All we're asking you to do is honor the agreement that was made those 15 years ago to have that boat slip in there.
Well,
that was the year to do is just going to represent that agreement that we have from the commission business.
And I spoke with Dick Bowles about this because when you put your lift in, and Dick Bowles told me when he went down there, this was I don't know how many years ago you put your lift in, that it was just a temporary agreement between the people, but there was no license that was ever issued. Okay. It was just like a friendly yes.
Yeah, I'll go along there. There's no license, but it was still approved to be there.
But there was never a license issued by the Rushford Lake Recreational District, so we cannot honor it. So what we need is a motion to give Mr. Plank and the rest of the Community Dock Association
a letter
stating
I haven't seen the duck, I don't know what, I don't know, that's prior to me, so I can't...
It's right, actually, it's right in front of Dale Young's property.
That doesn't tell me anything without going over there and looking at it and see where the properties are and who's been licensed for it now. I think it's just a little premature.
Well, it's not actually premature, their cupboard was actually there with me last 3 weeks ago, maybe, about 3 weeks ago, we went there right after our last meeting.
All I'm saying is, I'm not gonna make the motion, because I don't know what it is.
Okay, well, no, it's...
I'll make the motion.
Do I have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, Mr. Schwartzau, I have another question for you. You have dock number B444, correct? Do you know what property that is attached to?
No, I don't.
See, we need, that's another community dock that you're on, we need to know what property that is attached to, just for our records. So, I need a motion to give Mr. Schwartzau until our next meeting to give us the information on what property that dock is attached to. It's another community dock that you're on.
Well, isn't that's not in the records anymore?
No, it's not attached to any property. Mr. Schwartzau, he's a front lot owner, correct?
My sister and I.
Your sister and you?
I have also two back lots.
And two back lots, but we just for our records, we need to know which property it's attached to. So I need a motion to...
What, if it's not attached to any property, what happens?
Well, we don't have a record, do you have a record of what...
We don't have a record, and is it attached to any property?
Well, this is what we need to know, what back lot property is attached to.
So we just need a motion to attach it.
Right.
No, to know what number it's attached to, not to attach it.
We need to know the address of the property.
The address, okay. I'll make that motion.
All in favor?
Written that way.
Okay, I had a call, actually yesterday afternoon, Rhonda gave me a call, there was a tree that was, it's a willow tree that had quite a bit of damage to it in the storm, and I went down and I took a ride down there this morning, and actually the tree, one part of it split right in half and it's leaning, it's ready to fall, and right in front of it, there's another big willow. So I need a motion to remove that tree, if you have permission to remove that tree, because...
Who is it? Who's asking?
How come there's two different names on the same address? Oh, I'm sorry, 89C, 8897C, 8897.
The name is Burchell, is it?
Yeah.
Burchell.
Burchell, okay, I'll make that motion.
I need a second?
I'll second.
Over. We requested trees be planted in place of trees taken out.
Okay, well, actually, right where that tree is, there's another big willow, right, it's a huge willow right in front of it. So I mean, if he really would be, it would be right on top of each other.
So when it was split then?
Yeah, it's split.
Well, when I looked at Smith's, I know it's not.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, now the final one is Mr. Chuck Stewart. I'm just putting him back on the agenda. I spoke with him earlier today, and he wanted to apply for that dock on Woodside. Not on Woodside, but in a circle in a cove, and we're waiting for the 30 days to expire in order to sign that dock. Mm-hmm. Mr. Stewart, would you like to tell him what your feelings are, what you want to do?
Yeah, I want to rescind that request. I'm going to go on to the Timber Lane. Yeah, I've requested to go on to the Timber Lane community dock when it's built there.
So we need a motion that Mr. Chuck Stewart will be added to Timberland. But I mean, they're going to build a dock and they're going to split the dock within, you know, 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm. We're not making any motion along that line now. He's just rescinding the one he's got in there.
Well, he's rescinding.
We don't have the application for the four on that, do we?
I've applied for it. Yeah, I put in an application for it on the board.
It's the whole community dock that's been applied for.
The whole community dock's been applied for and it's been approved.
Okay.
And it has been approved, and there's two members that are on that dock right now.
Okay.
One's going to be a third one.
Chuck would be the third one, and I have no idea who the fourth one is, who knows better. But I just so that he could rescind his other one from the...
So we need to rescind the one motion?
Right.
And, or one request?
Right.
And do we need to make a motion to approve the other request?
To approve the one on Timberlane.
We need two separate motions.
We don't need to approve this, and that's been...
The dock has been approved.
Yeah, it's been approved.
But he's getting paid to do anything.
Well, actually, in order for him to be on there...
He's gotta be a member of that dock association, so he's gonna have to...
He'll have to join that dock association. But we wanted to get it approved ahead of time, that it was gonna be okay, so he would drop the other one in the circle.
What happens when he sells his place? Does the dock go with it or not?
When you sell your property?
Yeah.
Oh, that's something we were gonna address if someone had a question open for him. Right now, backlot docks do go with the property that you sell. But I believe there's a five-year, maybe a five-year, you have to own it for 5 years. I'm sure that's in our resolutions.
Do you need to be reading something along that?
Yes, I do. Why don't you make it just non-transferable from the beginning?
That's what I thought, if it was a new dock approved.
Right.
And okay, so here's property A, and it didn't have a dock, and they acquired a new community dock, and it is in the regulations, that after, they have to have that dock for 5 years. They can't just build it and then turn the property around. If they own the price of the property and it already has a dock attached to it, they can flip the property in 2 years, 3 years, and there is nothing. It's only if they acquire a new dock to a new piece of property.
Does that include a permit?
Pardon me?
Don't you have to acquire a permit when you acquire a new property and a license for that dock? You have to put in for an application?
Yes, and Mr. Stewart did put an application in for both before. He did put one for the one on Woodside, which this is still up in the air, we don't know. The property was sold, it went for foreclosure, and there's a dock down there that has been ignored and it's unsafe. So he actually applied for that one first, and plus with the Timberlane.
Did he do improvements on that property, on that dock?
Oh, no, the dock that, which dock are you talking about?
On the bay.
No, improvements have been done on that right now. We sent the buyer of the home, the new buyer, a letter giving them 30 days to respond, to apply for a license and to put in a permit application to prepare that dock, giving them a chance to keep the dock with the property. So he's rescinding that one, even if they don't apply, then that dock would be open for whomever I own.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. All in favor?
What the motion was?
That Mr. Stewart could be on the Timberlane.
That he withdraw his application for the unknown dock, and that instead he'd be allowed to apply for a license on Timberlane.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Then I'll make a motion that he be, if he wants to be on Timberlane, to accept this.
Yeah.
Application for that.
Right.
Okay.
And then the Timberlane Trail, when that's all one, and the dock is built, we would like a set of bylaws.
I just need a list of everyone who's on it, that's all.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Next. Oh, we have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, Maggie, committees?
Well, I only wanted, I'm not gonna take this part of it over, Dave. I just wanted it to be brought up to the attention that our bylaws shows that we have something like 9 different committees. And I think it would be beneficial to this district as a whole if we started doing more of committee work and then have committee reports. Very often some of the questions that we've got in open forum, if we've got solid reports from the committee, like the rules committee, the environmental committee, the dam repair committee, the finance committee, the liaison committee, the legal committee, the newsletter committees, that maybe we could get these meetings running a little smoother. and get some, a little bit more accomplished, so I don't have any committee reports.
Oh, no, no, I know that, but I thought that you wanted to take that part of it, you know.
Well, I wanted to address the fact that we have committees.
Oh, okay.
I would like a little bit more working through the committees. A great deal of time is used in these meetings talking about a lot of variables we don't know. Research could be done through the committees. Questions brought up here and answers brought up.
Who's going to spend the time going through all that? I'm not going to.
Well, of course you're not. I mean, you're the candidate appointee, so we don't expect that you do.
No, there's a lot of legalities involved in this crap, too.
That's right, but there's.
And we're not lawyers.
So.
Every time, oh, no, wait a minute, let me talk.
Okay.
Every time you go have one of these committees, you got to get ahold of our lawyer, whoever it may be right now, it's Joe Miller, it might be somebody else next week. But that costs money, too, to make sure we're stepping, not stepping on somebody's toes, we're stepping on the right toes, and all that. I got this problem.
Well, our bylaws have that we have nine committees.
Well, I have realized that. You can be on nine committees if you want. I don't care, but I don't want to be part of this without knowing where you're going.
Okay, I know what the DAM committee, Debbie's been working on with Bill Saborsky and Bill Zabel with the grant money. She could continue doing that. I'd like to see Maggie, myself, take over the DAM committee with the DAM operators, and she could work along with Bill Saborsky on what the DAM needs. But I need motions to accept that.
You and that DAM committee got some legalities involved.
No, I know. I know.
And I have no.
I'm not going to stick my neck out.
Well, I have no problem with checking with the lawyer or running any of this.
I realize you don't, but it's how these people money every time you react, too.
Well, and I think that we have a lot of qualified people on this.
Absolutely, a lot of qualified.
Can I just say something, Mr. Chair? I think if you've got a huge project, that it's going to be difficult for the commissioners and their general business to tackle. It's not, it would be in the best interest of the lake to form a committee of citizens' interest, let's say in working on the lake capacity or lake use rules. And then have that committee come back to the board and give them reports. Because some of these projects that I think we've talked about in the past are gigantic. They're huge. We don't have the time to.
No, we don't.
The existing board of commissioners doesn't have the time to devote that's necessary on some of these important issues.
To hash it out.
There are people around the lake that can sit on these committees and spend the time.
The only thing is, each committee has to have one, at least one commissioner on the committee. That's right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
This is what we'd like to do, is have different committees.
There are committees on this list that have the keys.
Exactly.
Which would be very helpful.
Yes.
None of these things get done, and none of these things get researched, because we don't have a committee that's dedicated to looking into the matters and bringing the information back to the board for them to consider.
Right, it's like reviewing the rules committee and our policies. It's just way too much for just us commissioners to sit here and you know, hash it out during a meeting, come up with recommendations, and make those recommendations either, you know, whether we legally can implement them or if we have to put them on a vote to the people.
Some of this work could be interesting for some of the people around the lake.
Well, and
they have a vested interest by reason of the fact that they own property, and they might take a real interest in working on something like this.
And less consuming than sitting in a meeting for 4 hours.
No question about it.
I mean, you know, you can focus on the interest of that particular person or that particular committee. And in some cases, you might have to have two different committees working together. The legal committee,
right,
and the rules committee.
Right.
The dam safety committee and the legal committee. But, you know, just as in any situation, if a committee, a particular committee makes a recommendation of what they think might need to be done, then it could be reviewed by the attorneys or the legal committee to come up with. You know, the more input you have from the people, the better. Yet it can't always be done in a meeting such as this. It just takes up way too much time to.
doesn't get done.
Well, then it doesn't get done.
Even on a legal committee, you could have one or two commissioners, and you could have two lakefronters and one backwater, as long as, I'm just saying, one commissioner, possibly three, two frontwaters and a backwater. For the legal committee, and so they would know what's going on, and they could put their input in. I believe every taxpayer should have input put into this commission.
If they choose to.
If they choose to, and if they have an interest, I believe if they could be of help, I go along with that 100%.
There's only one problem with that also, there's too many people down through years that have had an agenda that would want to be on a committee like that.
Yeah, but they don't have any power. They don't have any voting power. You guys have power.
We're the last resort, the last word.
So if they come back with something nuts, it's still nuts.
Well, that's...
Well, that's what we're going to work on in the next couple of months.
I'd like to see a real qualified dam repair committee, because that is critical. And I'd like to see something, a committee formed for use of lake property and lake capacity. Those are two committees that I think are essential.
So I guess the point is we're looking for volunteers.
You got a newsletter coming out in the fall. You could present the existence of those committees, a mission. You can have a mission statement in there for what those committees are going to do. They go out to all the people that get the newsletter. If they want to serve on it, they serve on it. Mm-hmm. And you just let them know what the committee is going to be responsible for and what they're going to be looking into.
I just think that way we can focus a little more on each of the issues and then make the recommendations to the board.
Those are two critical things.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have no problem. I think it's a very good problem. Yeah. Okay, so what we'll do is we'll get all this committee. We'll
Between
start
now and next meeting, we'll see if we can't put together some committees with some volunteers. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be people that are going to come to each of these meetings, but we have a lot of qualified professionals on the lake who...
Absolutely. If anyone's interested in volunteering for a committee...
Could I make a suggestion on that? Is, could we make that where year-round residents on the lake? To be the volunteers, because they're the ones that live here, and they see what's going on, and they're familiar with the area, and I think that it would be a lot better to have people that live here rather than have people that just come in on weekends or, on their vacation or whatever.
You've got some non-residents on this lake that have been here for 35
years.
Yeah,
but they come to every meeting.
Well, I think it's got on the flip side, I mean, that's a good point, okay? But on the flip side, say we've got our environmental committee that needs to do some research or discussion with the DEC in Buffalo, and they live in Amherst.
Right.
A whole lot easier for even a seasonal resident living in Amherst to maybe have that working relationship with them than it is for the full-time residents to be going up there. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's...
Or have a network out there, with...
I think the appeal is for any help, no matter where they are, whether they're full-time, seasonal.
Right. I understand.
Input from all sides.
I understand that.
I believe as long as they know how committed they're going to need to be, that they're going to have to be here, and they're going to have to be 100% involved.
They're still all owners.
Pardon me?
They're still all owners.
Right, exactly. I used to live in Orchard Park for the last 2 years, and I never missed a meeting here. Okay? I'm now a resident, but I wanted to be here, and when there were dock inspections that needed to be done, I didn't care. I came out here, winter, whatever the weather was like, we had appointments to do, we were out here. So it depends how committed the people want to be.
You know, one of the things you could do is you could interview the people that want to serve in these committees, mm-hmm. and get, lay the program out to them and see how they react to it. The other thing you should probably do is limit the number of people on it.
Well, I think that...
Because if you're going to have 20 people on a committee, you're never going to get any.
The bylaw calls for three.
Three people.
A commissioner plus three. Okay. And just maybe possibly a small questionnaire with what qualifications or work experience they may have to add to the particular committee.
Okay, so we can work on this within the next 2 or 3 weeks. We'll work on it.
Yeah.
I think you should have it done.
Okay, no, I understand. I understand. But you just don't have, you don't have the time.
I don't have an objection to that.
No, I think, no.
It would have to go in front of the board, and the board would have to approve it. And before, if there was something legally that we thought that had to be addressed, we would have to have our attorney take it up.
One thing I would say, if you're serious about this, and these committees are important, you should have the mission done for those committees, mission statement, and get it out by the fall newsletter. It gets out to everybody, and they all have a chance to read it, look at it, decide whether they want to serve on these committees. Because if you don't, you're going to wait till the spring.
Right, I understand. Maggie, would you be willing to work with Dick Hubbard on a newsletter for this?
Well, I told Dick that a long time ago, even before I was elected, I would want to do a newsletter.
Okay, so we can get one out in the fall? Once we get this all organized, what we want to do here, you can help Dick with it?
Dick is the chairman of that.
No, I understand.
So I'm not going to make any commitment on a timeframe for his newsletter. But I will help him any way I can.
Okay. Okay, moving on. Old business. I mean, I don't have anything for old business.
Did we cover all these people that he's on the table?
Yes.
The table we covered.
We had peas on there. I think I covered them all.
Till?
What is it, Dill? Yeah, Dill was the one on Trail Fire. Dill was the one on Trail Fire.
Okay.
Everything is more covered.
Okay.
Okay, moving on to old business. I don't have anything for old business. Does anyone have anything?
Well, I guess you might have, Sikorsky on the, did he send in a form or a thing, what I want to call it, for being the liaison? What do you, qualification, what he wants to do? It's in file here.
It should be in your blue folder there, the last one.
Well, for some reason or other. But I think that's something we've got to get done. Dave, I think we've got to get Bill on board and get this Dan thing.
He is on board.
He's taking care of it, as Dan pointed out.
Yes.
The base of the point is involved.
Yes.
And trees.
And the trees, the vegetation removed down below. He's working on all that.
Okay, then he's got handle on that. We have never.
No.
Tom, we were talking about the bells having to be done and pointing the dam when we lower the water. When Tom and I were talking about it, we talked also that would probably be time to get the diver down in there as soon as the water is dropped.
Is Bill aware of that?
Yes, he is. He is now. Yes,
one thing we have not talked about is compensation for Bill. I mean, we've got a lump sum, but how he's going to be compensated, we do need to address that.
I know we came up with a figure.
We've got a figure, but we haven't talked about how he's going to be paid. How are we wanting to bill us?
Well, actually, I think the first year he was just going to basically figure it out to see how many hours he actually has really puts in and everything. But I know we do have a salary for him.
Well, are you going to pay him a salary, or is he going to submit hours?
I would think that he should submit per hour.
Per hour,
maybe on a monthly basis of what he may have spent that.
I agree with Megan
here. That month.
But I think we got to make it, that's up in the air, so you got to make an offer to Bill.
Set hourly rate.
We haven't addressed that with him, so.
I need a motion that at the next meeting we'll have Bill, we'll call Bill.
Ask him what he wants.
Ask him what he wants, if he wants to work it per hour or salary. Per hour would probably be the way to go, and they started off, and then we would have an idea.
Well, my concern is October, we've got to get on the base of that dam. We didn't do anything there last year.
No, we didn't.
And if we don't keep up with that, then you've got a
200 feet rather than 150 feet, and it gets expensive. We budgeted money, and in the budget, and I'll do some of that.
Okay, well...
And that brush has to be kind of trimmed back, or it gets ahead of it.
Well, you also have that, those core samples that according to the application put in with dam safety, is where we said it would be done by January of 2010. That'll be here before you know it.
Yeah. That's something that's got to be done, like, over in November, so you get down there, but the ice is not...
Phil's out of town for this week.
Yeah.
I'll be back next weekend.
Okay, I'll give Phil a call and see if he can attend our next meeting, and we'll have any questions that anyone may have.
Well, I think we should meet with him before the next meeting. We should have a dam committee meeting, meet with him, so that we've come up with what the proposals from the committee will be, so that we don't hash it out during the meeting.
Is there any other bids on that project?
Pardon me?
Is there any other bids on that project to do their, do the work on the dam?
Something's got to be worked out, too.
As far as the pointing on the dam?
Yes.
From what Phil said last time, and we've been using this company for, I don't know, how many years?
Well, the bids have always gone out, and they're the only people that ever bid it. They had the equipment to get down in there, and lower themselves over and get it back out. But that has to be a bid job, yes.
Okay. Does that go out for bid every year? Yeah, it has to, legally.
But they're the only people that ever bid on it, they're the only people that have got the expertise.
Yeah, then shouldn't that be out? I mean, it's August, we're looking for work down in October.
I know Bill was at the last meeting, he said he was going to start working on this. So, well, we'll contact him.
Do we want to make a motion?
Okay, we need a motion. I'd like to, well, I need a motion for Debbie and maybe to meet with Phil Sikorsky. And,
I don't know if you need a motion for committee.
For committee, okay. Then the two of you can get together with Phil Sikorsky, contact each other, and then meet with Phil Sikorsky.
And then...
For the next meeting.
Okay, and then we want to get something going. We're getting those bids out there now.
Well, once you contact Phil Sikorsky within the next week, he'll be back next week. You can meet with him right away and then get this, get the project going.
Well, did they go out on bids last year? No.
Last year.
Never made it up?
The year before.
Year before. And I don't remember why we didn't have repointing last winter.
No, I didn't think we did.
Yeah, we did.
I know we talked about it, but it got so cold so fast that they never got down there.
I remember about, I'll have to go back, but I think it was like $20,000.
Something on that, whatever you have.
I'm almost positive it was in January, the whole thing. Will you check my notes? Want to put my speech tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay, new business. Anyone have any for new business?
Other than me.
Pardon me? No, that would cover getting one of them. Okay, and Bill, your finance.
No, the, I misspoke. It was January of 08 we paid.
Okay, so we could go back to...
What?
We could go back to 07 and see what bids were put out and just follow the same thing, right?
Yeah, right. But as far, since I've been on this board, there's only been that one out.
But if we legally have to put the repeat, then we could get going on that.
Right, absolutely. It's got to be started.
Because if Bill, you know, I mean...
It's already been this time.
Yeah.
Because it takes 30 days.
Because drop down is only like 6 weeks away, right? 7 weeks away, something like that.
What was the figure on that, Bill, at 07 for pointing the...
$20,675. He did 60 feet, I think.
I think we've done a little more of that here than normal.
That was around 60, 67 feet in general.
But that only covers, that doesn't cover the full height of the dam.
No.
It's a certain square footage.
Right.
It doesn't go from the top to the bottom.
No,
just...
The face of it, and then you go down and do some more below it, or whichever needs done to work, done before. It's not a huge process.
I know that when, in the past, we talked about the diver, that we were going to need the diver to go. You're more familiar with what the problems are on that, down there, right?
Electrohydraulic valve is not working.
Yeah, a limit switch, is that a limit switch down there?
A limit switch, and probably won't know until after drawdown. What we're going to have to do is exercise the sluice gates to find out, and we're not going to do that during full lake.
No.
Because if they don't play nice, then we're back to managing with gates, and we...
I know, right now you're working on it.
...in that position, so...
So we want to focus on getting the diver and those sluice gates working, tested?
If we need them. We have not exercised it since we put in the new reservoir heater and the 85 gallons of hydraulic fuel and the filters.
So that's got to be tested.
It's all in service, but we have not run it yet.
So we'll test that as soon as the drop-down is done, right?
Hopefully it will be safe, and we won't need a diver.
I think we need to.
Okay, so we don't need the diver unless we don't...
No, for sure.
Okay.
It's still a maybe.
Or it should be surveyed, correct?
Well, we got to run it.
Right.
This is not the time.
No, I know. But if we do it in the fall and have a problem, we want to right away get on with getting the diver down there when the level is 40 feet lower.
Right.
And so he's only diving 80 feet instead of 120.
Another good reason to wait.
Okay.
Okay, Bill, it's...
No.
Tomorrow. I just want to remind everyone, tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. is our budget meeting. In case you don't know, if you would like to attend, it'll be here. Okay, we do...
Bill, there's not many variances from what you're actually presenting tomorrow and what you've already got here, right?
No, there's not. Okay, we can move on to open forum. If you have a question, you can stand and announce your name and where area you're from.
Hey, Bruce Biggs, thanks indeed. Guys are doing a great job. You're doing good work.
CEO Bruce Biggs, Section D. I have no questions.
Judy Worth, Section K. And when Tom was talking about we said that the dam operators did a great job, which they did, but some people on the lake didn't do such a great job. They were boats speeding up and down our area with all the debris and the docks and boats floating around. And you'd think common sense would tell people not to do that, but obviously it doesn't. So is there any way that we could somehow say in times like this that people should keep their speed low so they don't cause more damage?
What we could do is in our newsletter, we could put that in our newsletter so that people...
It's all awful hard to generate common sense.
I know.
There was a lot of issues that came up on that morning of the storm. You know, some people, their main concern was getting out on the lake as fast as they possibly could to find their boat. And, you know, and along shorelines, while we're 2 feet higher, going as fast as they... And I couldn't believe the jet skis out there going full speed. With all of that debris, thank God we didn't have to do any kind of emergency rescues or anything. Because I was half expecting, you know, we had a lot of debris coming from the creek. And we are trying to get together with the DEC as far as some of the uncontrolled building down there. Not that we're saying they shouldn't have docks, but, you know, we had docks, big docks floating in the lake.
Hopefully, eventually, we're going to try to get control of the bricks, see how they build their docks, but install our rules on building.
Mm-hmm.
And they have control of how the docks are down. Because once one dock lets go, another dock is in the boat, we'll spread free. I mean, it was underneath the bridge. There must have been five boats that were totally jammed the bridge.
Oh, really?
It was unbelievable.
Bob Stephan, Area I. This is not the first time boats have slipped out of slings. Is it not possible to put something in a newsletter to tell people to attach a rope at the front of their boat to their hoist and stop
this problem?
Yeah, when they're in the lifts to tether them to the dock themselves. There would, there'd be, do you want to work on the newsletter? Because we got a newsletter committee and we got a rules committee. So we'll be calling on you. There's also been a call for just plain outright voting etiquette.
He's been saying that for years, ever since we've been out rescuing folks when we have these storms. He's been saying, why don't people just tie their boat that are in the hoist, just tie it to the dock or something?
I tie mine ever since, I think it was the storm in 2003. I had it way up in the lift and got a call that my boat's floating. Can't be, it's in a lift, you know, well, the windshield got smashed as it came out through the lift and just out in the lift, so you'll learn the hard way.
There was one fellow going around cutting boats free, actually because the ropes were tied too tight, mm-hmm. and the water was starting to get in the boat, so he cut them free, so keep them up.
Well, you can have a slack rope.
Well, no, I understand, but no one expected this to happen, so, mm-hmm. so now we learned from it for years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dave, Carl Sullivan, WG. When you were talking about docks earlier, you mentioned docks on Woodside Drive. To my knowledge, there's no docks whatsoever on Woodside Drive.
Oh, no. The owner of the dock has property on Woodside
Drive. Okay. Then I got one other question for you. In Arrowhead Bay, there was a dock without a number on it. I'd like to know if there's a special reason why there's no number on this dock, or what?
Do you know which dock it is?
It's the first dock in Arrowhead Bay. As you walk down, it's the one that used to belong to Bunsey.
Oh, there is a number there. I did put a number on that one, Jeff Bunsey's dock.
Well, you had to put it on recently, then.
No, I remember specifically putting a number on there.
Well, I'll check again. I couldn't find the whole number.
Unless it came off, but I remember specifically because I could even look through my records.
Okay, then one more question. If you're assigned, say, a dock space, how many boats can you put at that dock space? How many watercraft can you put at it?
Well, it depends how big the dock space is, number one.
Right.
In some docks, we have to limit the size of the boat.
Correct.
Okay. So depending upon, and I mean, if you may be the first lift, but if you put a pontoon in there, maybe the person behind you may not be able to get out, so you
right.
have to, there
well,
has to be a limit.
Well, what I'm getting to, there in Arrowhead Bay, the first two docks that you come to, there was a boat plus a jet ski on both docks now. There's two boats and two jet skis right down where the pipe under the road comes into the bay.
Okay, well, you know, I know where you'll admit. Why don't I stop by?
Oh, yeah, stop over there. And then we'll take a walk down.
Tomorrow will be fine.
Yeah, okay. Easy.
Okay,
well, okay, thanks, sir.
Okay, Kathy?
Ed Russin, Area K. We have an issue with our inlet, and I'm going to pass that on to my wife. We're together.
That's good.
Yeah, Lori Russin, Area K. And I think what Ed is referring to is that the inlet, especially in this last storm, was the torrential water that came down there was just unbelievable. As Tom said, it was coming in faster than anybody could ever take control of it. And that's the third time it's happened since 2003. We had a dock destroyed and, you know, we had to go through the DEC to see if we could dredge, which they wouldn't let us do. And that's all, whatever. That's a DEC problem. My only open forum thing is, you know, I know that change is hard and I know it's difficult going from the way it was to the way it is. And I hate not being 21 and wearing a bikini anymore, I gotta tell you. But I was wondering, with communication, I would love to see, you know, some real factual communication instead of a lot of hearsay and rumor and all of the stories that circulate around the lake. And now that we're in a Twitter generation and an internet generation and a blogging generation, is there any possibility for the commission or the RLRD to have a website where things can be posted, news articles can be posted, you know, things that are on the agenda, when the meetings are. It would be so easy to be able to go to someplace with factual information rather than just trying to get piecemeal here, there, and everywhere.
Okay, actually, I know in the last couple of years that I've been on, the last 2 years, we've had people that volunteered and said that they were going to do the website, but it never materialized. So right now, Dick Hubbard, he's been appointed to put together a website. But if this website is not done by January, I would like to hire someone. As long as we get the board's approval to put together a professional website for us. This is my idea, because we definitely need a website.
I think that would be very helpful.
For downloading request forms, and they could email them back to Rhonda, it would save so much time in many ways. It'd be so helpful to the community.
Perfect, thank you.
You're welcome.
And Bill, as Bill said, then we have to have somebody maintain the website.
Right.
That's the way you get it started, but maintaining it is...
Right, we'd have to have, absolutely. But I will check in, now when I...
Well, I was talking with Rhonda the other day, the district has a Yahoo mailing or Yahoo address. You can get a website through Yahoo relatively cheap, and Rhonda's got lots of things that can just be downloaded on there, attached, however, whatever you do. So I think that there's, maybe not, if you look at her, she's looking at me because I'm doing the extra work, but it's, once you get started, it's not that bad. And I think between Dick, well, now that Dave is here full-time, Dick will be here full-time. I think we'll be able to make a lot of progress on that this year.
You know, until we get the website for a modest fee, I don't even know what it is, Rhonda, she could send you minutes, the meetings, if you really want.
I did find an unofficial website. There is rlrd.com, but it says it's an unofficial, and it does list meeting minutes, and it listed the calendar of events, but it said that this meeting was last Friday, not this Friday. And I mentioned it to you, right, Rhonda? And I was looking for, like, the rules and the regulations with regard to the district, and I just couldn't find them anywhere. And I was very, very surprised that when we purchased the property through a realtor, we were never given the rules and regulations of the district. So we found out quite literally after we closed on the property what we could do and what we couldn't do. And again, it was through hearsay, and someone said, you know, you have to, and no, we didn't know. So it was a concern that way. I think that's one thing that prospective buyers should be given, the district rules, number one, prior to closing on a sale. So we've never really seen it. I just asked Rhonda today if she could, you know, where can I find these rules? And she was kind enough to email them to me. But we're just such an instant generation, and I think all of those critical things, like where you are in the request, and if you put one in, what is the status, when is it tabled, when is the meeting, and then you may get people who are interested in certain subjects coming to certain meetings rather than having, you know, either too little or too many in any given meeting. That
I think we definitely need a website. I'd like to actually...
You don't need a Twitter, though. There's enough of that.
We actually need a big billboard also with the website on there, how to get a hold of the website. Before you buy real estate here, check the website, because you know what you're buying.
Well, I'll tell you what, you can take some cues from what they did back in the 70s and the early 80s, and that was when things were changing with Rochester Gas and Electric in the district. When you look through the old records, I mean, there was letters that went to the municipalities, letters that went to the attorneys in the area, letters that went to all the realtors in the area. The letter went out to all of the property owners in the area, stating this is what their rules are, and if you sell your property, and back then there was no transferring licenses unless you were a lakefront with that in front of you. Back lots were not getting transferred. In fact, there weren't half as many back lot docks back in that time. But it definitely is getting the word out there to the realtors and to the...
Yeah, because even in this public...
We've had a lot of flipping property over the last, a lot of transfers right. Over the last 10, 15 years.
Right. And even in this due process American thing, which I think is the best thing in the whole world. You'll never see me going into any other country. I think it's wonderful. But to also know, like when someone puts in a request, you know, how long does the public have the right to submit their opinions or their case before a final decision is made? Or is a final decision made and then you tell everybody, shut up and hold your peace? You know, I just don't know that process right now.
It's usually if someone puts it in a request, and if there may be some infringement on property, before we approve that request, we will notify the neighbors, okay, before we do pass it. Usually, you know, to see if there's any infringement on either part.
Okay.
You know, one of the parties. So, you know, we do our research. We try to do our research.
Great.
In the past, I can't say, you know, 100%, you know, because the commission's been working for quite a while, and there have been mistakes made, and I'm sure we're going to make mistakes. Hopefully, we can stop, you know, hopefully it doesn't happen in the future.
My name is Tim Cansdale from Area Kate. My property butts up to Ed Russin's in the creek of Eagle Bay, which is in question with the request Mike Holmes put in. I have a couple questions. If his structure is less than 500 square foot, how can this even proceed any further?
Well,
that's number one. Number two, there's a serious erosion problem with that creek. The last storm filled in an additional 25 feet of that inlet is now gravel. So if previously he needed 75 feet to get to his property, he now needs 100 because the inlet filled in. There's an S-curve just ahead of Mike's property that every time we have significant rain, there's serious erosion and all that washes down the creek. So if he were to excavate the area like he's suggesting, I'm sure it would fill in within a year or two. And the other factor is the way my dock currently sits and Ed Russin's, if our boats are tied up, there would be no means of egress for one of those boats to enter or exit that channel that he wants to excavate without hitting our boats. It's a very small area that you're talking about in Eagle Bay. And the other thing is, if he excavates that, does he add 75 feet of lakefront to my property? Because what is now land will become water. So has he added 75 feet of taxable waterfront to my property?
See, the creeks usually...
I don't think it's waterfront.
Because there's a lot of inlets with creeks, you know.
Okay.
But I couldn't guarantee that, but I don't think so. But...
And that inlet is at the bottom of a very steep ravine, so if he excavates that and puts all the spoils on the side, all the water from the mountainside runs down and is going to wash that back in. I don't know what he's proposing to stabilize those banks, the sidewalls.
I'm not, DEC told me they would probably want to tell me what I'm going to do. But I can't even talk to the DEC until these folks make a decision.
And the last question was, how would a machine even get down in there?
There's ways.
Yeah.
And can I come one more question on that same thing? The 8507 Sunset Circle, the property that is listed with Jenny Harris right now that Mike Holmes is trying to put the dock on, currently does have lake access and a dock. The purchase of that property was done so that Mike could eliminate the lake access and the dock for privacy next to his property. The sole purpose of putting this dock in is not for the recreational use of Mike Holmes to have lake access, but merely for financial gain to help sell the property. So for someone who's owned the property for less than a year to take away the lake access and the dock that currently exists and to try to dredge and, you know, do all this stuff to the, which is in your own rules, pleasant and convenient for all. It would be unpleasant and inconvenient for most, certainly not all. And I just don't understand how, with less than a year and flipping, like you're saying, to approve something that's just going to be for the financial gain of the current owner.
That's why we have that one rule, that you do have to own. Do give you a new dock license, you have to hold that for 5 years.
Whether you're a front lot or back lot?
Not a front lot, a back lot.
But is that considered a front lot since there's 30 feet or 31?
I don't know how it is under tax. I really couldn't tell you at this point because I really don't know.
There's actually a question on that because his property does abut to the recreation district property.
Right, 31 feet and 5 inches.
So, I think in there, our policy defines a front lot as a property that abuts district property. And that property abuts district property. I'm not saying I agree or disagree with it. I'm just, as we're learning the different details and what he's requesting. But back to the financial aspect of it, I gotta think that would cost a pretty penny if you're gonna go in there and start doing any kind of excavating in that ravine. It's not like he's just cutting down a few trees and got the water right there and it's gonna automatically financially benefit from it. Just, I mean, he would have to put in a whole lot of money to get any benefit.
Right, are you planning on moving there, Mike?
Planning on moving there?
Mm-hmm.
I'm moving right where I am.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And hopefully you'll keep moving for a long time right where you are, right? So I think there's still too many questions to be answered.
We have a lot of research.
I mean, it's certainly an interesting proposal. And it's been done, has it been done anywhere else in the lake, Mike, where it's been dredged like that?
I'm across the lake from me. There was some dredging out a couple of years ago. How many feet? I don't know. I'm conflicting, but easily 35, 40 feet.
Now, Al, when we were there, you said you owed to the middle of the creek. Is that what you had said, that you owed to the middle? You owned to the middle of the creek and Cansdale's owned to the middle of the creek? But the middle of the creek is below the 14,
yeah.
So how can you own?
Well, it's not owned, it's exclusive rights.
Okay, so you don't own to the middle of the creek.
But further up, like my property goes all the way to 49.
Okay.
So above the 1450, the survey and the deed states going to the center of the creek. So obviously once it blows...
Center of the creek to the point where it's above the 1450.
Correct. So once it goes below the 1450, it becomes district property.
Okay.
Where Mike wants to put his pier in is pretty far up the creek. In our original boathouse when we first moved there, is probably at least 80 to 100 feet away from where he wants to build his pier, the original one. And that was destroyed by the creek. And all the stuff that comes down the creek, it was totally filled in. And that's one time over the past 6 years that happened. It will happen again. It's happened, what, three?
Right. We have it documented by FEMA and their homeowners insurance and everybody. And it says, upon inspection, absolutely, you were destroyed by a landslide. But that is, it is very unstable land. I think even Mike will attest to right up near your structure, the trees are hanging over and land is
well,
loose.
Well, that's the other question. I mean, if you've got that much flow coming through there, should there maybe be some clearing done on them? I mean, what are you getting through? Lots of logs, lots of...
All things, boulders,
yeah,
gravel, trees.
Shit.
It's coming across from the other side of 49.
Up on that property.
From the other side of 49 and actually
ground,
I'm familiar with.
This side of 49 and also the other side of 49.
And there's times that the rushing water will pull it out. So there's years where we have a little bit more water, and then there's years we have less water. Years we have more water, years we have less water. Mother Nature is deciding what it wants.
So that, another question. I mean, obviously after we left here the other day, you know, a couple of different questions popped up. All of that stone, gravel that's sitting there now, you just leave it there?
Yes,
and
that's what the DEC tells us.
Okay, so we'll leave here and next year it might not
be
there.
There's got to be 100 tons of it that came down just this past, and it sits there until it works its way out or it fills in again.
Okay, right.
So any boat that would be up the creek would be sitting on top of my boat or Tim's boat when this occurs, because it looks like Niagara Falls when that water comes down. And it carries boulders bigger than two of you put together with it. And logs.
Because there's a pipe that goes under 49.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
How big is the pipe? But
what area is that you're talking about? What?
Area K.
Area K?
Yeah.
Okay. That was not H, and you know, I watched that creek.
I'm sorry?
It's probably a 30-foot sluice pipe. I watched that water come right through. You know, it comes underneath 49, I live in the bay. And I watch that water come right through, and it filled up Trail 9. You know, in Trail 9, the guy has his property up for sale, and all the wash from the storms just circled around across from the public beach, and it sat there. You know, and then, now, the owner of that property, I don't know who clears that out, but he had a big problem, because his property's up for sale, and now all this crap is sitting in the channel across from the public beach, and who cleans that out?
In the channel?
On the opposite side of the public beach, off of 49.
Yeah, even this shot from Google Earth. Here's our inlet from Google Earth, which is really wonderful, satellite picture, you can do the whole lake and zoom out. But when you look at Google Earth, you will always see this muddy area, because there's always mud. We always have trees. Before we can take our boats out, we have to make sure that we remove any trees and debris that's in the inlet. They've gone in their swimsuits underneath their pontoon to pull out trees so they can get out. It's pretty volatile creek.
Okay, we're going to go out. We're going to go out.
Thank you.
I think it's better for everyone to go out.
Absolutely.
Call us first, though, so we're there.
No, if you want to be notified, just give Ron, I'm sure she has your number, and we can go out and notify you a day in advance or 2 days in advance.
Can I come when it's storming next time?
Okay.
Please do.
Okay, moving on.
Don
Waddell. Hudson's Bay, what's up with that? What's up with Hudson's Bay?
Hudson's Bay, we have not had any new reports at all.
Do they have any timetable when this is going to be resolved?
Our attorney has not heard anything from anyone at this point, and right now, there's nothing that I could report.
Their attorney, your attorney can't push it to get this thing done?
Actually, right now, everything's basically at a standstill, and I can't make any comments at this point in time.
I think our attorney sent the last correspondence, so now we may be waiting for response back.
Okay, we're going to go in order. We'll get to you in a moment. Okay, next.
No questions.
No jokes.
No jokes.
No comments. No routine.
No questions.
No. Hi.
No.
Good, thank you. Mary? Oh, John Jessup.
John Jessup, 318. I've been hearing rumblings that on Hillcrest Trails, the trails that the corporation, the not-for-profit corporation, has taken over, some people have been saying that the corporation could limit people access to their docks, which is entirely not true. What I would recommend for everybody, in fact, anybody has any questions in the newsletter may want to be included, it's hillcresttrails.com. And the mission statement is there, and it states that public access for people, and also the Constitution and the fact that it's a 501c3 corporation. But absolutely, number one corporation in the mission statement are stating that there's access. Secondly, legally by the right of having been a public access, it remains that way. It has to remain that way, and the same as with any right-of-way. But I would encourage people to look at the website, and if they have any questions, there's instructions here how to reach the secretary, and we can go from there, or we can come out, the officers can come out and make a presentation or talk to the people individually. But no, we do not. That's not the object of it at all.
Thank you very much.
Okay, just on that note, I don't think anyone has said that you're limiting access or I'm going to refer to that email we got the other day if I can find it. This, I believe, was prompted from a couple of people over on the Pleasant Marina. They had question that they want to do some work down there. Mm-hmm. And they presented three questions. The copy of the tax map that they got from the town does not delineate the 1450 line. If you look at the property, Panner's property next door and the Romer property on the other side, they all have the 1450 there. This particular parcel does not show the 1450. They questioned as to whether the district owns that 1450 or whoever owns that right-of-way owns all the way to the water. That was question number one. Question number two was they wanted...
Can I answer so I don't forget?
Okay, but these aren't, my questions. These are the questions from the people that have the docks. Now, if we're currently in litigation or potential litigation with Brad Poon and his neighbors because of their docks, and their docks being in front of his right-of-way, property, whatever. It's yet to be sorted out. He's willing to give written permission for the, or deeded access, or however, all of this can be handled in multiple ways. I think this board has to be cautious on giving people dock permits that are currently a right-of-way now, but sometime in the future might be designated a front lot. So people are a little concerned to be putting money into a dock that they don't know for sure who owns it. They've never seen anything in writing yet. You may have talked to them, but I would think that just on the website or through an email, you know, is there any, what if they're not computer access? What if they're not computer literate? What if they don't decide to act that way? Is there any other way to get a hold of them? Or, you know, is Hillcrest Trails willing to sign something that allows these particular eight people to be on this particular right-of-way, or is everything that Hillcrest Trails owns open to the public and it's nonprofit?
It's number one, it's nonprofit. Number two, it is open to the public. We only control to the 1450 mark, period. And everything in that area, the 1450 designates is the designation mark or the boundary line between my property or,
Well, in this particular, the first question they had, it didn't show the 1450. That particular right-of-way wasn't staked for survey, and my understanding from what I heard from other areas was that they were all surveyed. So they had a few questions about it, and I certainly don't, I don't think that there's anything sinister in their questions. They just want those questions answered before they were to be putting in money for their slips. And I think they have a dock association. To all of a sudden find out that it is open to the public and anybody can use the docks and anybody can be up there.
No. We control only, the only thing we have anything to say anything about is the actual trail property. From the 1450 to the dock, that's your problem. And I'm speaking of the district problem. There's no, the trails have no control over below the 1450 mark, absolutely no.
But they would have control over who crosses them to get to that part? Or is it totally open? Do you have that? I mean, can you maybe provide the board with copies of the mission statement and the bylaws?
It's on the website. It can be pulled off. Hillcrest Trails.com.
Okay. I don't feel that's my place to be pulling it off. I'm asking Hillcrest Trails if they would be willing to present to this board what they have for the people. Maybe then Rhonda can, rather than telling them, here they are. This is what's in place.
See, anything above the 1450, we have nothing to do with. So my suggestion is, if anyone calls and they want to know anything about the trails, Rhonda, just tell them to go on hillcrestrails.com. And this way here,
do we not have a legal responsibility before we issue licenses to know that those people have permission from the owner of the property in front of those docks?
They have already said that we have total, that it's a public right-of-way and everyone has access to it.
Okay.
They will not stop anyone. Is that correct, John?
Yes.
Same is is one thing.
All right, saying it's one thing, but to have them go on that, we don't have to go on the website.
That's what I'm saying. I don't feel I need to go on the website.
And if the people that are on these trails and are the right-of-ways which lead to their docks, have them go on there, and if they have any questions, they can address John Jessup, Gary, the police officer.
Only through the internet? Is that only through the email?
Or in person. I'm sure that if they call John or went to his house, they...
I went to their porch meeting back in the summer, back in June. Explained the whole thing to them, answered all the questions. I spent about an hour with them.
To which one?
Pleasant.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying I went. That's all I'm saying.
They asked...
Wait a minute, Meg. You're getting into this from the board point of view of what we're 1450, and that's not a lot.
But don't we, listen, if we're going to, we've got a problem with the Coon and the Moran, not Moran, who is a Paisaki and those people over there, that they've got docks that are on someone's frontages, okay? And we're in the potential of a possible lawsuit because there's a docks on someone else's frontage.
We can't present a lawsuit if some other board didn't fund you.
I understand that.
So, let's drop this. From a board point of view, that's none of our business what goes on.
Okay, John actually brought it up.
Yeah.
You're arguing.
No, I'm trying to get the answer.
No, you're arguing. We are involved in this trail. We made that point clear for eons. Why do we...
This is not the trail. This could be considered a front lot.
Anything above the 1450 is the trail.
This is a stub end that could be considered a front...
Well, I'm not arguing with you either. This thing is all... I think everybody agrees what it does on the whole deal.
It could be considered a lakefront property. I mean, we've got different, same situation that's now being considered a lakefront. So I'm just trying to look at the possible problems in the future.
If that happens, we'll have to deal with it in the future.
Okay, as long as that's, we'll deal with it in the future, and we'll deal with it in the future.
Why are you looking for trouble?
I'm trying to stop trouble. That would be my point. Okay.
From the board standpoint, I don't want to deal with it.
I mean, is that everything?
Yeah.
Okay, Mary?
Here's to Area G. Question on the trailer park, where they put them docks. They were launching boats, and I know you said the board was giving the two towns to handle it. Are they still allowed to launch their boats and jet skis?
Actually, we have no control over that at this time.
Okay.
It has been presented to the towns.
Okay.
And we're waiting actually for...
They're taking money from the district.
Pardon me?
It's taking money from the district.
Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, next year, we're going to hopefully have a new system in place.
Okay.
We're working on that right now. Okay? Cal?
Not at this time.
Okay. Bob?
Maggie, are you still the president of the Landowners Association?
I am.
You stated at the meeting that you would resign if you were elected to the board.
I did. I would not run again, yes.
So you plan to stay on as president for
the term ends at the end of the calendar year.
You don't consider that to be a conflict of interest?
No, I consider it to be the same interest.
It's been stated in the landowners' meetings previously that one of their purposes and functions to be a watchdog over this board.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't consider that to be a conflict of interest, that you're the president of the landowners and also sitting on this board?
No, because I don't make any motions at the landowners' meetings. I don't do... I just lead the meeting. The board, any of the directors, they make the motions, they make the votes. I don't present that at the board. So I don't feel that that's the conflict.
You did state that you would resign.
I will be finishing out the term, which ends at the end of the year.
That's not resigning. You stated you would resign.
It's been 4 months.
So.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to just state to the board that I consider that to be a huge conflict of interest.
Okay.
Okay.
Do we know, I guess?
Does anyone on this board have a problem with that at this point?
I don't know that you can do much anymore. They're basically, it's up to the landowners.
I think so.
Just one little thing. I'd like to request the board to enforce the letter of February of 2006. Again, I'm requesting that. I guess you missed me when we went by.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
I know you called, I spoke with you the other day, you told me there was an unsafe issue down there.
I'm talking about the letter.
The letter, too.
The letter.
Oh, yeah.
And you said... Okay.
This bill wants to get going.
Okay. I'm gonna go take a look down there anyway, and you'll have to put another request in. Give it to Ron, and then
Do I have my own stack down in the office down there? I mean, this is a no-brainer. If you wanna escalate it to a point where you got another suit to handle, fine. This is something that has been decided, that doesn't need determination. We've gone over this. I don't mean to banter with you, but it's been acknowledged that the hoist is over the line.
I can't really say it's over the line.
You don't have to. It's already been determined. Dale Young acknowledged that it's over the line. How much more do you need?
Can I tell you something, Doc?
Yes, sir.
I cannot, Dave, you were out there, did you look at that lift? In your opinion, I know that you...
In my opinion, get a survey right to the lake.
Then let the Lake District do that, but it's already been determined. That's already been determined with Hudson Bay and so forth. If the Lake District wants a survey, they have to get the survey.
But we didn't survey Hudson Bay.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna, you wanted to do that, you brought that up in one of the meetings.
I know, we never did a survey of Hudson's Bay. So we didn't pay, if you, I believe in this...
If the owner is saying that he knows it's over, why do you need a survey?
Because I don't know.
You don't need it.
But I don't want this board to pay for the survey. If you have a problem with the dock being on, or the lift being on your property,
You were at the two meetings that he said that he knows that they are illegal. Okay? The other point of the tree, this bush that you like, is ridiculous. Grind it down and plant a decent tree with a root system like everybody else is forced to do, is cut a tree down that's on below the 1450 line. I don't mean to,
The only thing I'm gonna do is I'm gonna take a look at the stump, but the rest of it, if you want to have a survey done, I suggest you have a survey done. And if that lift is infringing on your frontage, then we could possibly have a move it. But actually, you have the right to the water's edge. Actually, once it gets out into the water, it's up to this board to determine if it's really infringing.
It's a straight line right off the property.
Okay. What I'm saying is, then have a survey done.
He's already told you that he knows that it's. You don't have to determine. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking you to enforce your rules, your own rules.
But I don't believe that this board should pay for a survey.
Listen, the Youngs can't go by their own rules, okay? They can't live by their own rules, okay? If you've got rules, and a commissioner on two occasions has determined this already, they've gotten a letter. Do something about it. Enforce the letter.
Does this board here want to pay for a survey? Do I have a motion for this board to pay for a survey on that issue?
Not for me, not for one piece of property, no. I think what Joe is saying, that this board already in 2006 had issued a letter with a directive for him to replace the tree he cut out and move his hoist. And to this day, he has not done that, correct?
That's correct. The other thing is, they haven't moved their hoist already. There shouldn't be any problem with a movable structure to move it. You forced, this was in conjunction, and you were going to take this one at a time. This was an old bitty thing with a moving a shed. I went right along with what you did. They were supposed to do what they were supposed to do, and they didn't do it.
Okay, at this time, it's up to the board.
Why should it? The board has determined it already.
Well, and it's already been determined we weren't going to do anything about
it. No, it was already determined.
No, that's not true.
That he's got to.
Right, that it was determined as the lift be moved in 2006, but then after that,
Well, no, no, nothing was rescinded. It was not rescinded, it was just never act, he never did what he was supposed to do.
This is dragging Jenny a little bit.
This is a letter where it was that he verbally, it was verbally agreed upon that he replant a tree where the one was previously removed. And it was supposed to complete and return enclosed forms, which I apparently, I don't know what forms they were, but I'm going to assume that they weren't returned. The break wall needed work.
You had pictures, you okayed the situation.
Pardon me?
You had pictures about six meetings ago.
I know we did, I know it was done.
Because it was, suppose that something was done incorrectly, there's a branch that's dead. It tells you that the tree's got to, excuse me. That the tree has got to go in place where that one was cut. That's what that letter said. It says it exactly. The break wall was a flimsy old thing that they were supposed to support with stone. That what they did is took the old break wall out, and what it does is it erodes their land and it erodes behind my break wall.
Okay, Doc, this whole Doc committee is going to go out.
Thank you.
All right, now, let me tell you, we're going out on inspection on the property over here for these, for the people over here. And the same day, we're going to go over and we're going to check Dale Young's property.
I'd like to know when you're going to be there, please. So last time you folks came and looked at it, you said the decision was made that he had to provide a survey. For you guys to determine where
it was. I myself...
That's the last that was said. You've had two trees put in there. You've had pictures of them.
I myself cannot see. I can't tell you if that dock is 5 foot away, 5.5 foot away, 3/4 foot. I cannot tell by eye. The only way you can actually tell is by a survey. I mean, but we're... I'm going to take the committee, the commissioners out there when we do the other inspection, and we will check. Okay? And then we'll determine at that time. Right now, I don't want to make a decision. I want to move along. I didn't want to screw this meeting out real long, because we have another meeting in the morning. Okay, anyone? Who's next?
I live on Trail H, off of Hillcrest Drive. I'm in the bay. I would like some clarification of how the beach is closed, the public beach. I know it's subcontracted to a company in Allegheny County. I've been out here the last 3 weekends, and they close the beach, they open it at 11, and it's shut down by 2 o'clock in the afternoon because they can't see the little kids' feet in the water, and they've been shutting it down. I understand if the storm comes by and it's cardboard, coffee brown, they can't see the people's feet, but they've been shutting the beach down prematurely. And, you know, what happens is, the beach closes, people start converging on the bridge and jumping off the bridge into the water. There's no policing, there's risk, and it's risk to the Lake District, and it's a responsibility that needs to be addressed.
You know, Scott, when I went through there, I thought I saw people jumping off the bridge when the beach was open.
It happens, you know, I can't control it, but I was told that my children, you know, if the lifeguards see somebody jumping off the bridge, they're called sheriffs and they're to police the area.
Well,
that's what I was told.
I swear I saw it because I didn't
go
that far
near my
boat.
You can't control that. Yeah. If they close the beach and it's a hot day, I can understand about the clarity of the water, but at the same time, they've been closing it prematurely, in my opinion. You know, put the lifeguards on the pontoons, put them on the beach. But you know, they're saying 2 feet of water.
Well, that's Allegheny County.
You know, I know we don't have much control over that, but you know, I know you want to be safe and everything, but I feel that they closed it prematurely at, you know, they're scabbing. You know.
Well, what do you say when they can't see the feet because it's murky water?
Yes, they stir up the water and then they close the beach.
I know one of the lifeguards, and he says if the water is murky, which if there's silt in the water,
and the kids are playing in the water, and it gets stirred up, and it gets murky, if they can't see feet, that means they can't see somebody on the bottom.
Which makes sense.
Which we...
And that's why they closed it.
I understand that, but, you know...
And to say it's being closed premature, with the way the weather's been and silt, and the way the water gets murky, I mean, it is a safety issue. That's not the issue, though. The issue should be the people jumping off the bridge.
Well, that's it. And they close the beach, and they go right around and jump off the beach.
Then they go right around the beach.
Not closing the beach.
And there's people flying down there 45, 50 miles an hour, going over the top of that bridge, you know? It's like someone's gonna get hurt.
I passed through there the other day, and what I was thinking, if we can get the county to build up some wires with cable, build it up high, so people wouldn't be able to...
They're still gonna get in there. There was a tornado that went through here 6 miles away. There's treetops. You go up to the bottom, there's treetops that are snapped right off. There's big open areas, you know, where high winds went through. We were very lucky that it didn't come through this town. But I can see when it's murky, but there's an issue where kids just want to have fun, you know, and it's like, put them on the docks, talk to the people, you know. I just didn't think it was right that they shut it down for between the most perfect time of the day, between 12 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They're still getting paid.
You know what I would do, honestly? Call the county.
That's right.
Call the county and the rest of the board, because they do it for control.
Absolutely.
Still in the Lake District.
Unless we stop leasing to the county.
All right, put it this way, just think about it, okay?
I'm gonna contract to
run your public beach.
But if I were to drive by and I'd seen kids jumping off that bridge or whatever it may be, I would call the police.
It's not my responsibility to police other people.
No, but I mean, this way here, they would go down there and what's the word down the road?
The lifeguards are supposed to call the sheriffs, but what's the response time from someone drowning? It's gonna be too late.
If the water gets murky, can't you make it mandatory, the flotation device?
What mandates are in place?
There's always ways to...
And then the beach can stay open and it's mandatory anywhere flotation.
We're not running it, we're not providing it.
Back in April, we had that dredge, we had that malaria dredge from the bridge out past the beach. They had a dredge, and now what happens is the water rages through there. It brings down all the sills and it fills into that area. And it circulates and it turns the water brown. So they have to close the beach. When it clears, as soon as two people go in, stir up, walk into it, they're closing it down.
I suggest...
We only have...
I'll call the county myself and I'll write next thing about the news for you. Okay? See what we can do about the people jumping off the bridge.
I mean, it's a good time, you know, but the lifeguards, if you're on that beach and you look at that bridge with the trees grown, you can't even see the people jumping off the bridge. That's a blocker view.
I will address more problems and I'll see if I can test. Next.
Dan Watts, Trail 5. Back to the dock situation. Nothing's really been resolved. You mentioned about the dock association. There isn't one. There isn't.
No.
And we're not going to have one because this Mr. Till not really wanted on the whole dock area. He just seemed to park his jet ski. He just pulled up, put his jet ski lift right next to my dock. And basically, that's his spot. And I was told by other people that that's where he's staying. He doesn't plan on moving. And at this point, I do not believe he has a dock permit.
No, he doesn't have a dock permit. He had a license, but there was a license with the property, but it has not been transferred.
Right. Now, I understand there was four people on my dock. One was Mr. Uzi, which is not able to have a dock permit because his space isn't large enough.
Right.
So these three people, I would think this would be a good time to weed out that extra person that's applying for a dock permit and straighten that out.
With Mr. Tilly?
Yes.
Does he have a dock in his deed?
He's not welcome on that dock space. No, I'm down there too. He doesn't respect anybody's property. He goes on other people's docks. He's told some of the neighbors right out that he won't even pay for Dan's dock if he gets on there.
Okay.
And, okay, this is why you have dock associations. Because I'm on a dock association.
Yeah, but what's...
We have our bylaws, and if there's someone that you don't want down there, you can eliminate that person for certain reasons.
But at the last meeting, David, you told him, Gary, because I was there, that you would find him another space on the lake.
Well, we will do, I don't want to see anyone lose their license. I said, I was going to try to see what we could do down there, but evidently there's no rule.
No.
There is no rule. So I will look around within that vicinity and maybe at a different trail or wherever it may be.
Have you researched it?
Pardon me?
Have you researched it?
Pardon me?
Have you looked?
Not yet, no. But I will.
I suggest.
For this season here, I told Mr. Lott to let him use it for the rest of the season, and I will, is that correct?
Correct.
I said, I'll go down there and I will do something, you know, at the end of the season.
I was also told, though, that he said he's not going to move, he's just going to stay there.
Well, if we tell him that he can't be down there, there's no way that he can be down there, and he'll get arrested for trespass.
But now we just decided, the board decided that you're just going to give it to the association, let them take care of it.
Well, we want to form an association down there.
Well, we want to, but we don't want him in it.
Well, then just don't put him in it.
Just leave him out?
Okay, just leave him out.
So at this point, then, we still have the problem where he still needs a dock.
Yeah, we still got him, though.
Pardon me?
He still needs a dock.
Well...
So association or not?
And we'll have to worry about that because right now there's no room for him down.
Right, but meanwhile, he's parked on my dock.
Well, then, at the end of the season, let him use it the rest of the season. There's only another month left, or a few more weeks, actually, and then that'll be it.
Find him. Call him up and tell him...
No, he meets the criteria, but there's no...
Find him another spot, please.
Okay?
Please find him another spot.
Oh, we will. I will do my best to find him a spot, but he will not be part of your association.
And part of the problem is, and I don't want to be really nasty about this man, but they never go down to the dock sober.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's a sin.
Well, yeah, it is when you're throwing beer cans and butts all over and they don't pick them up. It is a real sin. And in addition to that, his kid, who's a teenager, has not taken a boating course. He's driving the jet ski, and he's heading right into the dock on a regular basis and flipping it so that a wall of water comes in and hits all of us.
Yeah,
and you know what? The rest of us don't do that, and we don't want him doing that. So, at the point where I will contact
him and tell him he'll have the rest of this season to use that one part of your dock, but that'll be it until we find another location. Okay? It'll be off by the end of the
week. Can you send
me a copy?
Okay,
we
got a hold of this.
Pardon me?
I'd
like to see a copy of that sent to me as well.
Did someone make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Do I have a second?
We'll get a second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay? I'll take care of it.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Next?
Just a couple questions on the committees. Did the board recently form any committees? Did you form any recent committees besides the dock committee?
No, we haven't.
Dock.
Oh, just a dock.
Just the dock,
and
right?
Debbie is going to take over. Debbie and Maggie are going to split the dam committee, basically for different functions of the dam. Well, you're going to work directly with the dam operators, Bill Sivorsky, and Debbie's going to work on grants and things and other things to do with the dam.
So are they the dock committee then?
They will be the dam committee.
If we're going to hire Bill Sikorsky, not that I want him to run up a bill or anything like that. If he doesn't come to a meeting, can he provide us a brief statement of stuff that he has done?
This is why Maggie will be working with Bill Sikorsky, directly with Bill Sikorsky, so she can come to every meeting and have a report on everything that's going on with the dam and what Bill Sikorsky has done the month prior. Any other questions?
I have two comments. First, I'm Danny Kutuski, Area A. I'm the Area A director. And generally, I'm speaking on behalf of the landowners who support Maggie maintaining the position as president. It takes a lot of work. It's a lot of hard work, dedication. No one is really willing to step up to the plate. It's for the good of the lake, just like this one is. And if there was a conflict, I think it's up to the directors to ask her to leave. So I don't think it really impacts you guys.
I'm a director, and I don't have one.
You don't have what? A director?
He doesn't want to be president.
I don't have a problem with her being president.
No, I think they're pretty supportive. I just wanted to put that on record, that the landowners are supportive. The second thing, at the last meeting, Shelley Miller publicly said that she paid $25 to Rick Kutuski back in 2003 to be on a list for a dock. I asked Rick about it, and he said Dave Hirsch and Shelley Miller came to him at that time asking about her getting a dock. And he advised them to go to Rhonda and to that Pete Smith was in the process of losing his dock due to disrepair.
Mm-hmm. There was a dock that I applied for one time years ago.
Well, I'm just telling you what.
No, okay.
I'm speaking on his behalf because the way she said it, it's like, oh, I gave Rick $25 years ago, blah, blah, blah. But Rick directed you guys to go to Rhonda and for Shelley to submit an application for Pete Smith's dock in the event he lost it. And that is as far as it went. So if she did indeed pay $25 to the district as part of an application, it should be on file. Okay. And if she didn't, then she's just saying that she paid for $25, which is anything.
All right, Janet, I give you my word. I give you my word of honor. I swear to God. Shelley Miller told me years ago, or whatever, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, she told me that Rick was going to help her get a dock, and that was all that I knew. I had nothing. That is my judge. I had nothing, and I have no reason to lie.
I'm not questioning.
No, I know. Believe me, I had nothing to do with it. Nothing at all. Okay, moving on.
Bill
has a question. Oh, Bill, I'm sorry.
Somebody mentioned earlier that somebody was painting names or something down by the dam. Mm-hmm. Has anybody checked the cameras to see if any of this is on camera? If not, why?
Tom? Check them once in a while. Right now it's not recording. Hard drive, bit the dust. Tell them to list for Bill to decide we're going to buy a whole new system or put a new drive in the old one.
Look, if you have security and you don't use it, it could be live.
There's nothing that would point directly at the point in front of the brick house at this point either way. So I wouldn't help with that, but.
All right, Maggie, you're going to be working with the cameras. Maggie will check that out. She's going to check out the camera system.
Well, we looked at where, and I was down there at Wednesday after the storm, and I don't think any of those cameras had a clear shot of the front of the building.
But that's not the point. What? Like if there's a security issue, like the kid on the paddle boat and stuff like that, I mean, it's one way of protecting the lake, I would think. I would think it's necessary to have it running.
I wasn't aware of it.
You know, unless we have it hooked up to like Sonatrol or somebody who is going to notice it, who can immediately dispatch whatever agency is going to take care of it, you know, what would it prove?
Maybe that's a thought.
You know, other than recording, is it that close of a camera? Is it that much of a detailed camera where you'd be able to get a...
Yep.
Oh, maybe that's something you should check
anybody
out.
Anybody can wear a hoodie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting, the turkeys got three separate names, it's got to be a group of kids, and somebody knows who those kids, at least those kids are. Kyle, Trevor, and Conlon.
Kyle, Trevor, and Conlon?
Conlon.
Conlon.
C-O-N-N-E-L.
What is the newsletter?
Well, get them...
Yeah, why not? I mean, recent vandalism at the dam?
Well, I mean, there's been paint on there before, and this is new with neon orange down. But somebody's got to know who those kids are, and just make an example. If you have to punish them, let them clean it up.
Okay, Maggie's going to check out the address with Tom, see how we can rectify the problem here.
Well, it'll be all part of the bigger security issues, not just those cameras.
Okay, I just want to let everyone know about the budget meeting tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. I need a motion to adjourn.
I don't make that.
That's second.
All in favor?
Second.
Second.